Next, I'm delighted to welcome to the podium Paula Conway. Paula is going to talk to us about ecotherapy and mental health. She's best placed to do this. Paula's been a clinical psychologist with 20 years' experience working with young children, young adults, families, and young people. And now she's at Grow to Grow on an organic farm, and she's a psychedelic psychotherapist trained at Tavistock. So please welcome Paula.
Hi, everybody. Hello. It's lovely to be here. And I have to say, controversially, it's quite nice not to be in my work boots and splattered with mud and out in the rain. So a nice contrast for today. I'm here to talk about some of the what I think some of the key factors are that have made our project Grow to Grow a success as a mental health recovery project. And I'm sure, and when I finish this, because I've only got 10 minutes, I immediately thought of five other key things that I could say to you. But these are some of the ones that I think have contributed to our success. Grow to Grow is a project for 15 to 25-year-olds, young people with quite severe mental health difficulties. So we work a lot with young people with psychosis, young people with emerging personality difficulties, self-harming, depression. These are not easy young people to reach. Many of them have been isolated for many years, managed to get through school, then had a breakdown, and then have been sitting in their room for 3 or 4 years on their computers, totally socially isolated, so hard to engage. And perhaps some of the things I want to say will be a little controversial today, because I think that whilst I agree with everything that's been said about being outdoors and doing physical work as being fantastic ways of improving one's mental health, our experience has been you need a bit more as well. And you need quite a bit to engage some of the young people, particularly that we're working with. So I sort of randomly chose these five points that I want to say a couple of words about. One is something to do with the mental health model, having a genuine social enterprise, something about supporting the network, outcome monitoring, and time. So I'm going to briefly say a few words about these five areas. I think it's really important, whatever project or service you're working in, to have a mental health model if you're working with troubled people. Troubled people can be troubling to work with, and we need to have ways to understand that. And it's important that people can be troubling. That they need to communicate their distress. I think it can be an individual model, a group model, a psychodynamic model, a cognitive behavioural model. I don't think it really matters, as long as your team knows what they're doing and has a model to work with. And we work within a very particular developmental psychodynamic model. It doesn't mean we do psychodynamic therapy with everybody, but we understand what we're experiencing through that model. And I think it's helped me have a very stable team over the last 4 years and to get some really fantastic outcomes. Otherwise, I think everyone can be flying blind, really. And the danger can be that we'll end up only reaching the wellest of our population who are able to come in and access our project, and we'll lose around the margins the more troubled people because we won't know what we're dealing with and how to deal with it. So I've only got 10 minutes. I can't go into any more detail on that. Another thing that we've found really helpful is we work a genuine social enterprise, and so I work on an organic farm in Kent, but we also have a conference centre on site. And we grow the vegetables and the fruit for the conference centre, and we now supply the local community as well. So we're reaching 5 or 6 pubs and restaurants and cafes. This has been incredibly important for the young people to feel they're part of a real business and real work, so that it's not a retreat, it is actually a re-entry into the world. And the young people are involved with us on every single aspect of the business. They come out to meet new clients, they deliver, they bag up and weigh and price everything. They know that we need to earn money to survive, and that's a really important lesson in life. So it is a balancing act. We're always struggling with the demands and the needs of the young people and the demands of the social enterprise. It's not easy, but I really think it's worth it, and I'd urge anyone who's starting up something like this to make it real. It really does have therapeutic effects. The other thing I wanted to say something about, which has emerged and which we weren't quite prepared for, I think, when we started, is the amount of work with young people that is involved in working with their network. and that this needs to be properly funded. It's not just about the young person that comes into the project. Many of the young people we work with are in care. They have very, very big networks of care around them. We also work with young people in quite troubled families, and we have found ourselves involved in all sorts of additional work to the young person coming to the project. So to give you an example, just quickly pop this up. Claire is someone who attended the project twice a week, and we worked with her birth parents. We worked with her foster carer. I called her foster carer every fortnight for a year and a half because the placement was so at risk of breaking down. Quarterly multi-agency reviews, looked after child reviews twice a year, meetings with the social worker. We worked with the, provided some mental health training to the college pastoral support team. It was a huge piece of work around one child. She has done amazingly well. Her foster placement is stable. She's in her second year at college, but it took a lot of work and it takes money. And we need to be upfront about that, really. The other point I wanted to make is that we do need to collect the evidence. We know these projects work, but we have to be... I mean, I'm sure everyone's going to make that clear throughout the day, but we do have to be able to show that they work. And actually, we've found that it helps young people themselves to sit and think about what has changed and what hasn't and where they're going and what their goals are. And it can actually be a contributing factor to the outcome to collect the data. We found it actually quite therapeutic, and it can help some young people begin to talk about their difficulties by filling in a form. I was quite against filling in forms at the beginning. I hate filling in forms myself. But actually, for some young people, talking is harder than filling in a form, so it can be a good starting point. And we, I'm just going to say a very few brief words about some of the data we collect is the CGAS, which is a clinical tool, the CORE, the WEMWEBS, which I think Rachel has also used, and a range of personal goals, a recovery process, a lot of stuff, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. And finally, I want to say something about time. I don't think that things can happen when we're talking about real and lasting change very quickly. We wouldn't expect a landscape to change a garden overnight. We don't expect plants to pop up from one day to the next or over 12 weeks. So there's very good evidence that real and lasting change, there's very good evidence from America now on real and lasting change with young people, young offenders, you need a minimum of 18 months. So if we believe in the evidence, then we need to support it and work within it and not think we can turn everything around in 12 weeks, which often the government will try to convince us that that can be done. Just to give you some very brief... Have I got a couple of minutes?
You do.
Right. To give you just some examples of that, we, in our CGAS scores, which is the scores that us as clinicians give the clients every 3 months as to how they're doing, we found a massively different change in outcomes for young people who stayed with us over 12 months to young people who stayed with us under 12 months, a statistically significant difference. And interestingly, with those young people that stayed with us more than 6 months, we got 83% achieved educational or employment outcomes, which is staggering outcome, actually, given the young people we're working with. 72% achieved educational outcomes, enrolling on and attending college courses, taking GCSEs or dairy farm qualifications, or sustaining formerly precarious college placements. And 55% achieved employment outcomes, paid work, voluntary work, or completing a paid work placement on the farm with us. The young people, interestingly, and this ties in, I think, a lot with the research that Rachel was talking about, people experience changes in their well-being very quickly. So young people who come onto the project, they're instantly thrown into a social group, they're instantly doing something active, they do feel better, I'm not denying that. They feel significant changes from baseline to 3 months in well-being and in their goals, because just getting to the project, they've achieved one of their goals. But what we have found, and this is my final slide, is that although they experience the benefits very quickly, and that's great, not knocking that, it takes longer-term work to see substantial observable change in emotional, social, and behavioural functioning. and it takes longer to realise meaningful and lasting vocational and educational goals. And that although capturing these changes is an ongoing challenge, we feel it's essential to keep having the struggle and keeping going with it, because we are getting and finding really great outcomes. So I'll stop there.
Thank you.